You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show here on the Global Star Radio Network. Our thanks to Doug Hagman for joining us in hour number two, and Daniel Brigman for joining us in hour number one. And you can see they know the score, and hopefully we can take what we learned from them and go out and spread the truth. And I'm on this movement called the Missionaries of Truth, because there's still a lot of people out there who don't know what's going on or choose not to, and we need to gently remind them of what is at stake. Well, we have another exciting hour to go. But before we go there, I just want to remind everybody, if you're still thinking about stocking up on food, well, you need to stop thinking and start acting. Go to pneumonia.com/Hodges, and we've got all the product levels that you need, various time frames connected to storage kits, even a grab-and-go bucket in case you ever have to hit the road in a hurry. Like, hey, the tankers are coming down the street. Might be time to go. The grab-and-go bucket. pneumonia.com/Hodges. And again, we've partnered with Ted Brewer, who's going to be on with us for an hour next week from Health Masters. And Health Masters has a sale. And I should mention very quickly, you get 5% off if you use the coupon code DAVE5 of all Health Masters products. Quite a deal. And I forgot to mention, going backtrack here to Pneumonia Foods, 5% sale there. If you're just tuning in, we talked about it earlier in the show. Simply use the coupon code LABOR for Pneumonia Foods, and for Ted Brewer and Health Masters, simply use the code DAVE5. So 5% discounts on both. This is the time, folks, because these specials are going away this week. I believe, well, we'll have one more week with Ted's, and Wednesday it'll go away for Pneumonia. So take advantage of those opportunities. And again, I want to remind everybody the new Facebook, Seeing.Life. And it's a great opportunity, growing by leaps and bounds, and not all the censorship, although it's kind of funny. All of a sudden now, I can post to Facebook, and I'm knock on wood, right? Here, I'm knocking on wood. I haven't been banned in about 2 months, and I've been posting a pretty high volume to there. I go to both Seeing.Life and Facebook because I do what Jesus did. He walks among the heathens, and that's Facebook. Not if you have a Facebook account, but I'm talking about Zuckerberg and what he represents. But Facebook is lightening up. Why? Because Seeing.Life is gaining ground. That's why. It's the only explanation. They're not censoring quite as much. Now, YouTube, on the other hand, they've come out with stuff and saying, if you write about politics, we will ban you. If you write about natural disasters, we'll ban you. Basically, why don't you just say, YouTube, if you write about frickin' life and we don't like what you say, we're going to ban you. YouTube. And, I need to get my friends over before it's news to do a video platform to go with their Seeing.Life so we can have an alternative there, too. Because I'm sick of YouTube. I'm sick of Facebook. You know, and I'm wondering why people lock themselves into these social media ghettos, because that's what they are. A social media ghetto. Anything connected to Zuckerberg sucks. Anything connected to Google sucks. Thank God for people like Mike Adams, who comes along and has good gopher as a search engine. Thank goodness for that. Okay, I'm done ranting. Take a deep breath, Dave. Okay, nothing that a pill that's forbidden by Katie Whelan's health report certainly would make me feel better at the moment. I don't know. What do I need? Advil, Tylenol, Xanax. Oh, Xanax, there you go. I got one of those Xanax one time when I got treated for an athletic injury. Whew, those produce nights you don't remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Katie,
yes.
we have some work to do.
Yes, we do. And I was going to say that I was all tore up when Zuckerberg's rocket blew up. I was just devastated. Cough, cough.
Yeah, they were carrying a bunch of... Nah, I can't say that. Okay, anyway.
So that's
ooh,
my
we, almost, we almost got sued. Hey, I stopped myself mid-vowel. It's okay. Hey, Pat, can I buy a vowel? No, not on the Common Sense Show. We'll get sued.
I'm just expressing my emotions at how devastated I was that that more spying material was not allowed in outer space. But anyway.
I'm glad nobody was hurt.
Yes. Of course.
But Zuckerberg, yeah, may your bank account burn in hell someday. Okay, go ahead, Katie.
So, tonight's health report. I don't know if anyone in the audience has heard of something called Kratom, but it is the big story all over the place. Well, Kratom is in the news, and just got an update tonight, which is I will add to the end of this. But this is from activistpost.com. So it says, is Kratom legal in your state? We live in a strange reality, the writer says, where ailing humans are being banned from using helpful plants. Imagine that. Although marijuana has been liberated in many states, other beneficial plant medicines like Kratom, I believe that's how you call it, Kratom, are being increasingly prohibited. As more and more states begin to legalize marijuana, big pharma profits are declining. I think we did a story on that a couple months ago. Many have speculated that cannabis was originally banned to protect corporate interests. I would say probably yes. Perhaps the same motivation is behind the surge in legislation to ban Kratom. Kratom is a plant in the coffee family indigenous to Southeast Asia. It functions in a similar manner to opiates with similar medicinal effects. So the plant material is typically consumed as a tea or chewed directly. At low doses, Kratom is primarily used for stimulating effects. At high doses, opioid-like effects predominate. And the plant has been used as a general analgesic and as a substitute for opium or to treat opium-related symptoms. Other medicinal applications also known including use as a treatment for fever, cough, diarrhea, depression. Doesn't sound that bad. So Kratom is considered subtle and short-acting sedative with few negative side effects and no reported overdose deaths. Overdose deaths. Although Kratom triggers opioid receptors, American Kratom organizations say it is not a drug, an opiate, or a synthetic substance. So it's barred in 6 states, and legislation being introduced in 2 more states, which is ridiculous. This could grow as the pharmaceutical companies are already feeling the sting of pot legislation. Well, there's a gentleman who's been on the Hagmann Show. I don't know if you know him, Dave, by the name of Josh Peck. So at joshpeckdisclosure.blogspot.com, Josh uses this, I believe, from what he writes. He says, chronic pain sufferers across the country are about to have a very rough time starting out next month. The DEA has just announced plans to make Kratom an herbal supplement typically used to treat chronic pain and opioid addiction illegal to possess or sell. So they want to put it as a Schedule I controlled substance, much like heroin, ecstasy, LSD, and others. Once this happens, Kratom in all forms will be banned in the country, and possession or sale will have serious legal consequences. So he goes into some of the stats, which this is so interesting, and it's so typical, and it's so frustrating. But I'm going to end with some good news on this Kratom. So those reading might be asking themselves, so what? Doesn't the DEA know what's best for us? Isn't the government equipped and capable to dictate what is a harmful substance and what isn't? When asking these questions, consider this fact. To legitimize an illegalization of Kratom, the DEA cites a CDC report stating that there have been 660 calls to poison control centers due to Kratom-related incidents between the years of 2010 and 2015. To put that in perspective, there have been more than 10 times the number of calls, 6,843 to be exact, to poison control service centers concerning children ingesting laundry detergent pods. I love this. In only the first 7 months of 2016, mind you. Also, there have been 15 kratom-related deaths. That's debatable. For clarification, meaning a death of someone who had kratom in their system, even if other drugs like heroin were present. Well, 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 now the truth comes out. So what he's saying is it's been maligned. It's nonsense. They're skewing the numbers, blah, blah, blah. So kratom has been called a hazard to public safety by the DEA. However, the number of people claiming a better quality of life, void of harmful or destructive side effects, seem to far outweigh those who claim the opposite. So basically, it's wonderful for chronic pain sufferers. It's narcotic-free. It's a miracle. It's very much like marijuana. So guess what? I just pulled this up from Activist Post tonight. It says DEA plays dumb after eviscerating criticism of kratom ban. There's a kratom march on September 13th. If you go to activistpost.com and you pull up DEA plays dumb after eviscerating criticism of kratom, you'll find a petition. There's a Facebook page. I guess it's a whitehouse.gov petition, which they won't answer. But put your name on there anyway. There's a march on September 13th that gives you all the details. But it says the DEA extended its authority far past what this weary public will tolerate. Good on you, people. Trying to ban kratom is a futile death knell of the drug war. Futile if only we continue standing up and flexing our rights. Public outcry. An unrelenting bombardment of opposition is here to set the record straight. Kratom cannot be overdosed on. It's relatively innocuous, and it is our natural right to consume kratom if we please. I'll just keep reading because I'll get too excited. It hasn't worked well for government using force to try and stop people from ingesting substances in this drug war. We could clearly be foolish to continue tolerating this. So again, it says, it looks like our efforts are already paying off. Perhaps shocked by the uproar, DEA spokesman Melvin Patterson said, "Shame on everyone who wasn't researching it before. Now you start hearing the stories about how it's benefiting someone suffering from arthritis. If someone can find a medical use by it, by all means, we're in favor." See? They kind of back... You know, it doesn't take much. They pull all this nonsense, and they push these things through when nobody's paying attention. And the minute there's a little bit of pushback, these guys are weasels. So we really don't... And that's the whole point, is the powers that be want us to think we're powerless. And the moment we step up and show just a little bit of gumption, and I'm saying this was a lot more than a little bit, they back down. But we have to stay on them. So please, like I said, go to activistpost.com and read up on it, sign the petition. You can all the links tonight that you're going to get from the health report. Dave, you're going to be happy about this. I've shortened the name of my blog. So I'm going to start posting my shows, which I've been negligent in the last few weeks. But it's go to Katie, the number 4, health.com. Katie, K-H-E-Y, 4, K-A-T-Y, the number 4, Katie, 4, health.com. So that'll take you to my health blog, and it's got all the podcasts and links for the show. Isn't that better than the sentence that I had before? So, moving right along, medical, and this is
I have
the
a question.
Same.
Oh, yes. Before we go to a new topic, I have a question.
Yes.
on kratom.
Kratom.
Yeah. Who doesn't own the patent? Who controls this drug? And, I mean, it's money why the FDA is involved. So, what's the real backdrop behind this?
I think the backdrop is, they said it in the article, just like marijuana has put a huge dent in the pharmaceutical industry, I'm going to take a huge leap and assume that they have nudged their federal agency or the force, the agency of force, to crack down on this. Because they don't want another marijuana, marijuana debacle. You know, they classified it as a Schedule One decades ago and put out movies like, I don't think the pharmaceutical industry, I'm not going to say the pharmaceutical industry did this, but movies like, what was that, Reefer Madness, we watched that in high school, and it just jaded everyone's idea of marijuana. So, but little did anyone know, in the meantime, I believe it was in the 70s, the federal government got two medicinal patents on marijuana. So they've been holding their cards. They know, they've known the medicinal properties of marijuana. But in order to keep Big Pharma in the greens, pun intended.
Yeah, I got it.
They use...
That's a triple entendre. You know,
that's a triple entendre. I know, that was good. That just kind of came to me. So they use the, the force of the FDA. Now they're using the DEA to come down on this kratom. And I'm sure it's all money-related. I'm sure the Big Pharma's behind it. Anything that the people want that they've been peacefully using, that's medicinal, that's working. What happens, Dave? So, finally, people have had enough. They watched this whole charade with marijuana, and here comes Kratom, and it's like, nope, not going to happen. I am so encouraged by this. Petitions, marches, just all kinds of stuff. And now you've got the DEA spokesman saying, wait, yep, we're in favor of it if it's helping people. Baloney. But good. I'm glad it's going that way. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did, but I know money is at the heart of it. We need to dig on this because I'd like to expose some of this. It's mm-hmm. like when we had the Ebola scare and we found out that, who was it? Was it the FDA that owned the patent on Ebola and all mm-hmm. strains of Ebola? So every time there was a government grant or something was going into Ebola research, they got a royalty. And it was really quick to see why they were promoting the hysteria that they were promoting. And now... We're seeing a legitimate intervention, a legitimate treatment that could happen to anything that you sell or Ted sells. They're deciding, well, it helps people and it takes money out of the pocket of Big Pharma. We're going to stop it. I want to find out who the players are.
Yeah, and you know what I love about this is citizen journalism. This stuff is just coming out, and there's such wonderful pushback. I'm very, very encouraged in all of this. So... Yeah, we're making people aware that enough is enough. So there's a medical marijuana story here. Medical marijuana card holders can now be banned from owning guns. Again, I got this from activistpost.com. Great site. The battle between the federal government and the states on marijuana legalization has been ongoing for years, but now it's being fought in an area that most people have never considered. See, again, they couldn't get it. They couldn't keep it from pushing through. So now they're going to tie it to something else. It is just a constant onslaught on our rights that they have no right to take away from us. So now the feds are trying to restrict gun ownership for legal users of marijuana. So if you have arthritis, you take marijuana, all of a sudden you lose your Second Amendment. Hello? The Ninth Circuit Court decided 3-0 that banning the sale of firearms to a medical marijuana cardholder does not violate their Second Amendment. Bull. The court determined that since marijuana is still illegal at the federal at the federal level, and since it can be assumed that anyone possessing a medical marijuana card, is probably using the drug, you think, they can be prevented from buying a gun. Listen to this. Senior District Judge Jed Rakoff of the Ninth Circuit Court, our favorite circuit court, explained his ruling by saying that marijuana, quote, raises the risk of irrational or unpredictable behavior with which gun use should not be associated. May I interject? Of course I can. It's my report. From the website Citizens Commission on Human Rights, I pulled up this quick little aside. With 49 million Americans on psychiatric drugs, renowned psychiatrist calls for psychiatric drug withdrawal. I'm not even going to read that. I just had the report. I just had to throw that in. So far, there's no word on whether or not the court will prevent gun sales for consumers of alcohol or any other legalized drug that causes unpredictable behavior. The quote from Senior District Judge Jed Rakoff of the Ninth Circuit is so rife with sheer stupidity and outright laughable logic that I will let the listeners process it and hopefully understand we are being governed by idiots, hypocrites, and psychopaths. So no word yet on banning the Second Amendment rights of all prescription pharmaceutical users, or the banning of First Amendment rights of all those who take issue with the blatantly obvious attack by the globalists to impose their stealth and deceptive agenda on us, one people group at a time, until one day we wake up and none of us have rights. And by the way, these are not their rights to take away, infringe, or even threaten with any of the above. I mean, they are counting on us sitting back and taking the blows until there's nothing left. Well, I say, no, let's go back to story number one. Look what happened. Get out there, people. Speak up. Be brave. Be bold. Now's the time. So, moving right along, South Carolina sprays for Zika. Oh, and you were talking about the fraud of the Ebola. Well, this is the fraud of Zika. Again, we covered it last week, and this isn't really about Zika. This is the ramifications of spraying on Zika. South Carolina sprays for Zika further decimates honeybee population. This is from naturalnews.com. So it says honeybee deaths have spread across Dorchester County, South Carolina, with millions of working bees, worker bees collapsing in their little groups by their hives entrance. However, this pattern of death does not suggest colony collapse disorder. Most of the bees were trying to get to their hives, probably for safety. Rather, the evidence indicates that these poor little bees were the victims of acute pesticide poisoning. This heartbreaking news is not terribly surprising. And we had Mike on last week talking about the spraying, and he broke down the chemical compositions of exactly what they're spraying on us, this NALID. Oh, my gosh. So it goes on to say, the tidal wave of bee deaths follows a local government decision to spray a number of areas across the country with NALID, a type of pesticide that's being used in the name of Zika prevention. This is so aggravating. On Sunday, August 28th, Dorchester County sprayed the hazardous insecticide across the region. Flowerton Bee Farm and Supply, an apiary located in Somerville, has reported that 46 of their hives died on the day of the spraying. That equates to about 2.5 million bees. Bees are why we have food, ladies and gentlemen. They know exactly what they're doing. A scientist from Clemson University collected soil samples from Flowerton to investigate the cause of the bee deaths. But the bee farmers, they know it's very, very clear to the bee farmers. They don't need big fancy scientists coming in. The bees are poisoned and killed by pesticides. NALID, the poison of choice, is known to be very toxic to bees as well as mosquitoes. Even though no one in the county has been infected by locally acquired Zika infection. So see, now what they're doing is they're just using the propaganda. Okay? Not a single infection. Officials have taken it upon themselves to go ahead and spray the area. Anyway, the local bee farms and beekeepers were given no notice, and the county administrator admitted they did not follow the usual protocols on this one. You have to read this story. It is absolutely incredible. Get the word out, people. Put your local councils on notice ahead of time. We always react too late. Let them know you're watching everything they're doing. Demand studies of any public spraying, and demand the results be published, that the people have a big say in anything that affects public health. We're all into public health, right? Hold them accountable. Is the remedy worse than the disease? Well, there is no disease because Zika is a fraud. Show them your reports from alternative health sites and challenge them. Get educated on Zika. And you can listen to the broadcast from last week where Mike Adams goes into it. Mike Adams' site, Natural News, has lots of information. Also, you can go to John Rappaport's blog, No More Fake News. He's done a full expose over the months about the fraud going back decades. So, educate yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm going to plug my site. All these links and more, because I probably won't get to all my stories. Katie4health.com. And if we have time, do we have a little bit of time?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Canola oil. It's a story on canola oil. Everybody uses canola oil. We don't even think about it. It's the new healthy alternative as of 10 years ago. It's in health food. You go in the health food stores. It's in everything. Salad dressing, sauces. It's not that healthy. Not another natural news. We've all been trained by the government and food industry to believe that processed vegetable oils such as canola oil are healthy and naturally saturated fats coming from butter, lard, or coconut oil increases the risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. Though canola oil is marked as a healthy oil, it is anything but healthy. Does anyone really know what it is? I mean, for years we've been told by scientists, governments, nutritionists to stop using saturated fats and highly processed vegetable oils instead. Well, the problem with canola oil is it comes from highly toxic, genetically modified rape seeds. Did you hear that? Canola oil comes from highly toxic GMO rape seeds. In the past, rapeseed oil was used in candles, soaps, lipstick, lubricants, inks, biofuels, and even insecticides. In 1956, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration banned the use of rapeseed for human consumption. Well, then the industry kind of had a little fit, and they processed it in a different way. There was something called erucic acid. It was produced from in high levels from this, and it was very damaging to the human body. Well, the industry figured out a way to reduce that erucic acid. So now, lo and behold, it's back in the food chain. So while this GMO seed may have a lower erucic acid content, don't do it. Just read up on it. Go to naturalnews.com. Canola oil, a chemical carcinogen that doesn't belong anywhere near your food. So, that is my story for the night. I have a few more.
I gotta tell you, that's disturbing because people accept this at face value without question.
Yeah, canola oil. I haven't used canola oil for years and years because I knew about it and I thought, you know what? Tonight's the night. I'm going for it. It is so bad. When you read the rest of this article, you'll see why. So stick with olive oil, coconut oil. Start making your own dressings. That's what I've started doing. It's a wonderful way you can be more creative, be in control of your food. Put them out of business. That's my take for the night.
That's my motto, too. Put them out of business.
Put them all out of business. Yes.
Don't shop. Don't shop at the corporate stores.
No, honestly, natural medicines, make your own food, start starving off these beasts that are killing us, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Okay.
No comment?
No, we're in complete harmony. I could say yes, dear, but, you know, then they're married. But we're in complete harmony on this because... You know, corporate America is strangling America, and I think we need to live without corporate America as much as possible so we can return the favor. And when they start acting responsibly, then we can change our consumer habits. But the bottom line is we need to support our local merchants, our local restaurants, and natural foods as a way of doing that. And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, why should we shop at the Walmarts, the Cave Marts, and all the other slave marts that ship our jobs out of the country overseas and act like we're supposed to enjoy it in the name of free trade and then sell us back these products from foreign countries at greatly inflated prices? It's ridiculous. I mean, they make money hand over fist. It's largely responsible for the wealth gap. And it happens in every single industry. And speaking of medicine, this is why we need to strike back and go natural. We're the only country in the world that cannot price shop or comparison shop internationally. We're the only ones.
You know,
why do we put up with this?
I don't know. The ingredients in an EpiPen cost $3. Three. And now they cost, the EpiPens are up to $700. You know about the EpiPen episode from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
How they raised
yeah.
the prices. Yeah, $3 worth of ingredients, and they charge $700. That's what you're talking about. People, be proactive, get back to good health, start researching, getting into natural medicine, start eating right, farmers markets, organic food, making your own food at home, your own dressings, your own sauces. Stop the madness. Get out of the matrix.
That's well done. Well, note to Todd here. Let's go ahead and I think we have our guest. Yes, Todd is, as usual, one step ahead of me. Actually, he's more than that, but I'm just, that's an ego-saving comment. Katie, that was a good health report. Again, give out your website address again. When you say the number 4, do you mean a number sign 4 or just the numeral 4?
Numeral 4. It's Katie, K-A-T-Y, 4, health, katie4health.com. Same website,
I like that.
Shorter name. How's that?
That's easy.
Mm-hmm. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can remember that. I'm supposed to be in cognitive decline.
I revamped the website, too. It's really pretty.
Well, so. We're going to have to spend some time on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to go up there more often, but Katie, you're doing things behind my back.
I know.
I feel like I went away for a weekend and came home and the house is remodeled. Okay,
well, and then I wanted
this.
To present it to you as if I actually did something, because if I talk about it, I don't do it. So I just do it, and then I'll talk about it. How's
okay,
that?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. That's good. Well, that's Katie's health report. We'll have it available in the archives because if you didn't want to take notes, I mean, she does have a lot of material she crams into a short amount of time, and certainly people will write to me. And honestly, I get 500 emails a day. I can't answer all these emails. There's not enough hours in the day, even if I wanted to. But they'll say, what did Katie say the ingredient was to what? And I'm thinking, okay, for me to find this out, and you get the idea of all the steps I'd have to go and how time-consuming that would be. So the archive will be available. We'll have it up on YouTube in the next day or two. And we'll have it also up on our website at thecommonsenseshow.com. And you'll be able to take notes at your own leisure. You know, I need to start doing that. I went to a church not too long ago. It's really kind of cool. They passed out an outline of the sermon. And they made pencils available. And they encourage people to take notes. I like
there
that, active listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we should be doing with Katie, because the information comes at you in a very fast and furious model. Well, anyway, I've been promoting this since we came on the air. There are some strange, strange goings-on in La Junta. Now, I know La Junta really well. I used to coach football in Carl Springs. We used to play La Junta. I think they're mascots, Tigers. I don't remember. It's been too many years, but been there. Been there. Know the town. Know the area. Used to know a lot of people in the town, not anymore so much. But it's out on Highway 50. I believe it's a little over an hour away from Colorado Springs. And there's some stuff going on there that our next guest, Christina Sarro, was telling me. And I said, uh-oh, I see a bad moon arising. So, Christina, hi. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could join us.
Oh, hello, Dave.
Well, it's great to have you on. Yeah, well, you're really active on Facebook, and you do a lot of stuff. And, you know, this isn't your first rodeo by any means. I mean, you're very, very knowledgeable about what's happening in the world. And I read a lot of the stuff that you post on Facebook, and it's high-quality, good informational material. But let me kind of lay the framework here.
Okay.
You and I have had discussions going back over a year now, back into the Jade Helm 15 days, at the height of Jade Helm, where you were relating to me, let's start with the Walmarts in your town. There's an old one and a new one. Let's go ahead and go back about 15 months, and what were you telling me 15 months ago?
Oh, wow. Well, we were about when this, I guess, Jade Helm thing started. I started seeing a bunch of military coming in, vehicles, coming in through town and in through the armory there, and then there was an old Walmart that's been empty since I got here. It's only been a couple of years though. And they were using the parking lot there because they didn't have enough room at their armory. And
the parking lot at Walmart, right? And they were putting
military vehicles
there. Do you know what kind of military vehicles they were? Refresh my memory. Were they troop carriers, tanks? Yeah.
I'm sorry. A combination of a few different ones. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what they all are. There were some tanks. But there was about probably, gosh, I wonder if that could be wrong, but around the neighborhood of probably 100 or so. And, I mean, enough to where everybody's just going, what's going on here, you know?
How long were they there?
They were there for probably a good, maybe half of the day or so. I'd say probably mid-morning to early evening. And, you know, then I started, I went ahead and went to the Walmart, and I had some shopping to do, and noticed that there were all kinds of military men and women just overtaking the Walmart. So I clicked my phone on and I started following them around and I was just wondering what they were doing and what they were getting supplies and stuff like that, and tried to interview them. They really weren't too up for that. So I still actually have the video that I took of everything, and I was trying to go back and listen to what I had recorded. And anyways, but they were there. They were buying things. They were not, like I said, not real wanting to talk to you, especially when the camera was going. So, but I followed them around for a little while, and then I went over to where the old Walmart, one was shut down, and kind of drove around back there and was trying to figure out, you know, what was going on there, and did end up interviewing one of the guys there on the property, and they wanted to know what I was doing there, and I just said, well, you know, I live here in town, and I've never seen so many troops in one place at one time, and I was kind of wondering what was going on here. And basically a guy said that I can't remember his name, excuse me, but he was saying that the boss, the guy that owned the facility, had told the troops, the commanding officers, that they could park there. So they were just parking there and getting some stuff in there, and they were going to be on their way. And I'm not really sure. I want to say it was probably around 5 or 6 in the evening that they finally did leave. But just to have them around there and, you know, not really getting any answers that we were looking for as to why they were there.
Yeah, but you know, it's like the movie E.T. They're back.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. And folks, let me say this. Before you answer that kind of backhanded question, Christina, let me just mention to the audience here, we're kind of entering where we're going with this by inquiry. We're building this case step by step so we don't go from A to Z and people say, oh, you're out of your mind. This could never be true. Okay, so anyway, they left then, but they're back now. Let's talk about the recent increase in military presence in this very small town called Lahana, Colorado.
Right. It's been about a couple weeks when my husband saw about 2 miles worth of track with all kinds of different vehicles on the trains. And then actually, what I didn't tell you was I did get a call from another one of my friends that live here in town that's also watching things for me. And he was letting me know that, hey, you know, we've got them way down over here by where I'm at, which is at the north side of La Junta. And while he's But my husband's shooting, you know, a picture of the vehicles down where he's at, which, you know, was the south end. He's telling me about a bunch of vehicles at the north end. So we're looking at about two tracks just full of Army vehicles, and on their way out of town. And, you know, it's just not a really, it's not something you see here every day. So, you know, you're watching that, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to get more pictures for you of that occasion, but from that point on, I started to kind of seeing just activity here and there at the armory, and usually the armory doesn't really have very many vehicles or anything there, and I think I sent you some pictures of the vehicles that were there yesterday, and just activity off and on, military men walking around the facility off and on, and yesterday was pretty quiet, but today when I went to go, I had to go back out to Walmart, all the vehicles were gone. There were no more vehicles, and I don't know when they left, because it was like what, in the evening, towards the evening when I shot those pictures. And you know, and then we've been having an old Walmart, which has just been vacant, not really any activity. And this is the same one that they actually parked on when they were here a year or so ago.
Well, let me be clear, okay? The most recent rash of military vehicles in your town, were they parked at the old Walmart or the new Walmart?
At the old Walmart.
That's what I thought. Yeah, okay. And now the same thing happened last year. Okay, so let's start with the old Walmart. What is suspicious about this facility?
There's activity there. There's lights on inside. And like I was telling you, I couldn't get close enough to see. I couldn't really see the activity, but I could tell there was activity going on inside. Which made me kind of, you know, I wanted to get as close as I could get without getting myself into trouble. And I'm just still really curious, and I'd love to go back and snoop some more. but this has been over the last, I would say, probably week. And then I think I texted you the other day or whatever, or emailed you the other day, and I'll let you know that I was noticing activity there again. And so the only thing I really could get so far was the inside, that there were lights on the inside and that there was things going on. But I couldn't tell you right at this moment what was going on the inside. And
but here's the thing. This Walmart's been closed for a while. So,
yes.
I mean, when does it take 15 months to close a store and you're still going in and doing things under the cover of darkness? In the meantime, you have several visitations from the U.S. Army with multiple vehicles, multiple troops that are there. I mean, it doesn't add up. But this is where this really, really concerned me, is what you revealed to me about another facility that is very suspicious. Let's talk about that suspicious facility by the railroad tracks.
Right. Well, I went ahead, and you probably haven't had a chance to because you've been doing the show, but there is a closed down, from what they've told me here, it used to be a pickle factory, and it's been closed down for a long time. Now there's activity there, and saying that they're going to be opening some kind of a brewery there, but yet they're not. They're pretty strict on not letting anybody into the facility. You know, they don't want. I mean, it's not like, you know, come on in, we're hiring type of thing. So I was talking to my husband, and he, as far as he knows, nobody's been hired by this facility. That he was told that they're that they needed to if they wanted to apply, that they needed to go online. And I said, well, do you know where online? And he said no. So I've been kind of doing some searching around, and I can see where it says something about opening a brewery, but this is that back in 2014. But nothing leads to applications where you can go and fill out applications or anything like that. So,
I mean, do you think they would have a business license on file or some such thing? But here's what concerns me. Blacked out windows. You know, let's just go to the flip side. Here in Central Phoenix, you know, quite a ways from where I live because I'm about 20 miles north of Northwest Metropolitan Phoenix in the country. But you travel to Central Phoenix in what we call the Camelback Corridor. And they've got a brewery there. Nice little place. You can go and have a bite to eat, have, you know, beer that they distill right there. But they want you to go into the brewery. It's opening and inviting. Okay, and I've also been to the People's Republic of Larimer County, to the Budweiser plant there. And they have a whole little cottage industry there where they want you walking in. They want you milling. They even give tours. And I've been to another brewery. Sounds like I spend all my time going to breweries here. Okay, man, maybe I'm creating the wrong impression. But outside Sacramento, there's another big brewery. And when my wife and I took a vacation up and we drove up to the Bay Area and we were in this area, we said, let's take the tour. And it was a lot of fun and learned an awful lot about brewer. You know, the thing is they wanted you there. And here's the deal. You have a facility that's closed off from public access. They've blacked out the windows, and they're sitting next to railroad tracks. What the hell?
Well, when you get a chance, I sent you an aerial view of this place. It sits right in between the U.S. 50 and the railroad tracks. I mean, it's just the back side of it is the railroad tracks, and the front side of it is... You'd have to get into the place, you'd have to turn off of the US 50. And when you get there, you come across this almost sawhorse, metal looking sawhorse thing that says, no restricted, it's a highly restricted area.
Now, wait a minute. Since when does a brewery hang up a sign saying, highly restricted, we're going to prosecute drinkers at all costs? I mean, this is absurd.
Yeah. And there's no, it's not like they're redoing the place to make it look like a brewery. It's like, you know, like I was telling you, the windows are all, you can see where there were windows. It's just, like you said, it doesn't look like a brewery. It doesn't look like anything. There's people there, because I can see the cars, but I can't.
How do the people look? Have you observed the people? How do they look? How are they dressed?
I really haven't seen too many people. I've seen there, when I pulled up there, there was one black SUV, blacked out windows, and another car.
Okay, excuse me. That sounds like DHS or FEMA, not a brewery.
Yeah, it does.
And really, if they were connected to the facility, wouldn't they have, like, hey, welcome to the XYZ Brewery, coming soon, or, you know, something, phone number.
This is
bullcrap, what they're passing off here as a brewery. Let's get right down to brass tacks. Your town, it's not even a city, it's a town, and I'm not minimizing the value of the place. I'm just trying to create the appropriate visual image of the size for the listening audience.
Right.
I've been to Lahana many times, and it's a small town. You blink twice, you're through it. People are nice and friendly. There's a couple really nice little restaurants there. I can't remember the name, but we played our football games there. We used to eat at this local Mexican restaurant. It was awesome. So I have fond memories of the place. But here you have multiple troop movements covering a long span of time. You've got the Walmart mystery, you know, and just like Jade Helm, and we know all what that meant.
Right.
Now you have the new Walmart. And here's the other thing you told me, that you told me earlier today that you have a town where many strip malls and businesses are closed and boarded up.
Yeah.
So you've got a basically what sounds like a failing economy. But then Walmart seeks to close down an old Walmart and build a super center in the midst of a failing economy. Excuse me?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
And it's not far at all from where the old one was. I mean, you can walk from one to the other.
Wow, it's crazy, but it's not crazy if you break it down. One more piece of the puzzle I want to throw in, and it may not relate, and I didn't think of asking you this earlier. Talk show hosts and lawyers have one thing in common. Although, you know what the difference between a talk show host and a lawyer is? There's skid marks in front of the talk show host. But anyway, that being as it may, sorry about that. I had to elevate my own sense of importance with that.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
But with regard to what I want to bring out here is Pinyon Canyon. How far is that virgin prairie land from Lahana? I don't remember.
No. Maybe an hour. Maybe not that long.
Because let me tell you what I know about Pinyon Canyon, and I think this might be related. I was contacted by people at Otero Community College sometime back. I think the vice president of them, and they had a local community leader unaffiliated with the college, and I had him on the show. And this is like years and years ago. And their interest was the same as my interest when people were screwing with my property rights and trying to steal that of mine and my neighbors. They were going through the same thing, only there was the U.S. Army rolling out of Fort Carson, going a couple of hours across this virgin prairie land, tearing it up for the ranchers, no compensation, no right to trespass, and they go, we're going to do it just because. In fact, if you travel up I-25 in southern Colorado, they got a big billboard about this.
Right.
And here's what I'm linking into this. They're planning on having something big happen in this whole region. And your
That's
town,
the feeling I get. Yeah,
your town is at the heart of it. And I'm going to put this together because I'm in the midst of writing a book about FEMA camps. There you go, Katie. I just told you. You can't accuse. I kept it from you. But I'm in the midst of writing a book about FEMA camps. I know how FEMA camps are designed. I know how they'll function and operate because I got the enemy's playbook. And what I'm telling you, what you're looking at here, is you're looking at a massive staging area from Pinyon Canyon all the way to Lahana, and I don't know how far it's going to extend. I mean, it might go all the way to Lamar down in the far southeast corner, but who knows? But what I do know is this. You're living in a town that is staging for a FEMA camp. What are the requisites? You need railroad tracks. Number two, you need a processing facility, and it's masquerading as a brewery. And I think you got to be drunk to be able to do the things that they're planning to do to human beings. So maybe calling a brewery is some kind of sick joke. And then it's close to a Walmart, which we have already documented in Texas, like in Midland, where they were closing Walmarts and preparing them for other things, such as subterranean entrances for prisoners. And I covered this in Jade Helm. We had insiders talk to us. I had a Texas Ranger talk to me about this off the record. This is what is happening. And then you've got the military coming in and doing God knows what they're doing. If they had just come one time, you might say, oh, they're just on a leisurely drive. But they're a fixture there now. They're coming and going. You're sitting in the middle of a FEMA camp. How does that make you feel?
Not too good. you know, I kind of understand, in a sense, maybe why La Junta and, you know, I don't know if there's anybody that listens to your show as a meet from La Junta, but the people here are not, they're not with it as far as what's going on. You know, they're in their own
their
world.
The life there in La Junta is their high school and whatever they do to support themselves during the day. Kid-oriented community. I mean, I remember when we used to play our football games there, the games were almost always sold out. It was the event. It was the Denver Broncos of the area. It's a wonderful... Listen, I love those kind of communities. It was a wonderful area. And they had some good teams, too. But you know what? I like Lahana. And what's happening there, the people need to wake up there and realize what establishment's getting ready to do to them.
They're not aware of the chemtrails. They're not aware. You know, it's funny because I went into a Safeway. The only other store here to shop at is a Safeway. And I went in there and I was talking to the manager about their food and if it was GMO grown, you know, and you know how their meat was butchered, or you know, and just wanting to know, because I know Walmart stinks when it comes to stuff like that. They just do. But nobody knew what GMO was, which was really hard for me to grasp, because I'm trying to figure out here if I, you know, if I shop here, it's the only other store that's here. Am I going to get something a little bit better? You know, I'm talking to myself here.
Sure.
Than if I go to Walmart. And, you know, of course, Walmart's meats are all shipped in, so, you know, they're just not good meats. But anyways, I was just really shocked to learn that nobody knew what GMO meant. And I several times, they were kind enough to call the poultry guy, and I mean, the not the poultry, but the produce guy, and asked if the food there was GMO grown, and they had to keep asking what GMO stood for. And so the hunt is asleep, is really asleep, and I know they've been very dumbed down. And
now,
Christina,
you know what Lahana is really? It's the kind of town where people just want to live their lives. They're nice and decent people. They just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
And like my friend Ernie Hancock says, there's two groups of people in the world. Those that want to be left alone and those who won't leave them alone. And what's visited La Junta,
yeah,
this sleepy
true
little town on Highway 50, is the New World Order.
Yeah.
That's
yeah
what's happening. And, you know, what I want to do with this, Christina, I'm going to try to get a hold of you tomorrow, and if not, we can talk on Tuesday. But I want to network with you on this because I need to process all the stuff you sent me, and I've got questions. And then we're going to do a follow-up on this because right now we're just kind of in the beginning stages of putting all this together. And I will guarantee you the powers that be are going to be really, really PO'd that this is out there. But I'm telling you, I'm writing the book on FEMA camps. I know how they work.
Yeah.
I know the right questions to ask. I know what to look for. I know the elements. And I saw those elements in some of the photos that your husband and you have sent me. And this, and the, what you're telling me in the storyline is really clear. They are building a FEMA camp. Now, what I don't know is if this is one big processing center designed to move you on to another area. Is it going to be an execution camp? Oh, yes, they're going to have those too. Or what this is, I don't know the nature yet, but I'm going to start digging. And I'm putting it out there, and I'll tell you why, Christina, why I'm summarizing here. Because someone listening to this broadcaster, they're going to hear the archive tomorrow. They're going to have an idea, excuse me, and they're going to contact me. And I'll know more. And I'll know more very shortly. Well, Christina, I'm going to contact you tomorrow, if that's okay. And I want
to
thank you for being a guest on the show.
Fine.
We're out of time, but it takes a lot of courage to come out and speak about what's going on in your backyard. This isn't like reporting on what's happening in New York. And I know it takes a lot of guts, and we greatly appreciate it. And I will be in touch. And thanks to you and your husband for all the updates and photos.
True. No problem. No problem at all. And I will talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
I'm not done with this.
No, we're not done with this. I'm not going to let you be done with this. I'm one of those that aren't going to leave you alone. But anyway, thanks, Christina.
No, that's fine. No, you are so welcome.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight's show. I think. There, I hear the music. Here it is. I love that music. But we're done. And we're going to be back next week, and we're working on a bunch of guests, including which I got one commitment from Ted Brewer, and we'll wait till you hear what he's going to talk about. And we'll follow this story in La Junta. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Fight the good fight. Be a missionary of the truth. Go out and have a great week. God bless.